Hallelujah. Were you ready for the word this morning? Praise be to God. Let's start off with our favorite Bible verse. We all love this one. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. If you don't have that memorized after 3 years, I don't know what it's going to take you. You know, that ought to be on the inside of us. I get so excited when I share this because we have had literally miracles, 24-hour miracles come out of this Bible verses. People believed it and confessed it and held on to it. You know, one of the things that I've been bringing this up for several weeks now, but the first part of that, now thanks be to God. We of all people should be able to give thanks to God. As believers, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we ought to be able to give thanks be unto God for what he has done to us. And I want to continue to focus on that because of what God has provided for us as we get into this. On Christmas Sunday last year, Jesus told us, let this be a year of manifestation of my glory. It's a year for faith. This is a year for faith. This is a year to believe for things that you've not believed for before. This is a year to hang on to the things that the world is trying to take away from you. It's the year of faith to begin to walk up to this. And this faith always calls for our participation. We are involved in this. God doesn't just drop blessings out of heaven. It may appear that way sometimes, but it's only because you don't understand what's going on. But faith requires our participation. And he said, let this be a year of manifestation of my glory or my goodness. So we want to participate in these things. Jesus came, and we finished up 18 weeks on this, about Jesus preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what the side part of that is, I've got to say this, I know most of you have heard this before, it means the domain of Satan is closing. It is coming to an end. Jesus is announcing a new kingdom that is beginning to permeate the earth, that is beginning to take over, that we are no longer limited to the living under the dominion of the devil and of his power, but we have been transferred into a kingdom of light, transferred out of death into life. Hallelujah. Darkness into light. God has given us a new creation, a new birth, a new way of living. And he introduces this to the Jews. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a new kingdom. The old kingdom has passed away. The old kingdom doesn't work anymore, but there is a kingdom of God in the earth today, and Jesus boldly proclaimed it, and he demonstrated what that was. See, Jesus, we began to talk about this seriously last week. Jesus brought a revolution of faith. He didn't come to make your life better. He didn't come to make it more convenient. He didn't make it to come just to make us feel good about ourselves. He came to give you a kingdom of heaven in the earth. And that always involves conflict. It involves change, to walk out of darkness into light. You know how you are when you get up in the middle of the night, if you have a cat like us, and he gets you up sometimes about 5 o'clock in the morning, and you stumble out through the darkness, and you have to turn the light on in the kitchen so you don't step on him, because she just likes to stop right in front of you, and you flip on the light, and the first thing you do is you cover your eyes, because the light is so bright. Well, that's what it is when you come into the kingdom of God. You're coming out of darkness into his light, and it blinds you for a second. It's like, I can't see anything. You have to refocus. You have to re-energize yourself to see the kingdom of God, because light dispels darkness all the time. And when you walk in the kingdom of God, it begins to expose the deeds of the darkness that we always did, and we thought it was normal. We thought everyone was like this. We thought everyone thinks this way. And when you get in the kingdom of God, you find out expressly, God does not think that way. And we've got to renew our thinking to the way God thinks. It's called faith. Faith causes you to rise to a new level, into a new kingdom. It brings you out of darkness into light. And it's hard. It's hard to walk by faith when you've never done it before. At least not faith in God. We've got lots of faith in the world, faith in the devil, but Jesus is specifically calling us to have faith in God. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, when you come to God, it reveals your faith to begin to believe God. It's a revelation of your faith. Can you, will you, should you believe God? It is a revelation here of when you begin to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you know how radical that is? Because I wasn't raised that way. I mean, we worked. We lived by works. We didn't have much talking in my denomination about faith. And so that was kind of an unknown entity. And when Debbie and I came across this verse, you shall know God, you shall believe in God that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that began to revolutionize our way of thinking about God. He's a rewarder. And when you begin to think that God is a rewarder, that is a revolution of faith, and it reveals your level of faith in God if you believe he's a rewarder. We said in Sunday school that if you don't believe there's something out there, you will not seek after it. If you don't believe money exists, you won't seek after it. If you don't believe a job exists, you won't go hunting for it. See, you only seek for what you believe already exists. And if you don't seek after it, then you really don't believe it. Health, if you don't believe in healing, you're not going to seek it. Now, you might go to a doctor and hope he can give you a pill to change things, but you won't seek healing from God because you don't believe it. You won't seek prosperity because, well, you know, this is just how God is, you know, and what we have is what we have and nothing will ever change. Well, if you believe that, nothing will ever change for you. But if you believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, you will begin to seek him because you know there's a reward when I find God. Now, understand, we're not seeking the reward, we're seeking God, and the reward is in God. Yes. When you find God, you get the reward. Amen? Do you understand that? And we're talking about radical things because the Jews had been taught about the legality of the letter of the law, and they lived their life by the law, but they had no faith. Even in their own sacrifice, once a year they came to temple. Once a year they offered up the sacrifice for sin. Once a year they were cleansed, but they knew next year's going to be just like this one. They knew there was not going to be a change. Why? They still lived in the kingdom of this world. So Jesus is preaching a radical message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand or is present in the earth. Well, what are we to believe if we're in a revolution of faith? We're to believe the kingdom of God is present. Now, we said this last week. Faith is the acknowledgement that there is a spiritual world as well as a natural realm. We need to understand the spiritual world created the physical realm. It is the parent force of this natural realm. Therefore, it is greater. Because everything that we see, that we experience in this world came from the heart of God. It's been corrupted through sin, but everything here was created by God. Therefore, the spiritual is the higher authority over the natural. That means spiritual things can change what we see and what we experience in this world. Oh, we're going to get into more of this. See, God existed in the spiritual world before anything natural was created. Therefore, he is the greater one. And we are those that need to recognize who God is and honor him for who he is and have faith in the God who created us. We said this last week too. Spiritual truth exists, and whether or not it changes your physical reality depends on what you believe. It exists. God's real. But he will only affect you, I'll say it like this, he will only infect you if you believe him. And if you don't believe in God, you won't get infected. Because you know when you're infected with a disease? Oh, I've got it. Well, you need to be infected with God. I've got him. I've got him. Woo! He lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah! Amen. I got him. He's in me. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you believe in me, I will come and make my home in you. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That's pretty good. He said, oh, and the third thing is the Father himself will come and make his home in you too. So you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all dwelling within you. I think that's God. However you interpret it, I think that's God. But we don't live like God's in us. We live like the world. We live a carnal life because we really don't believe God's in us. Therefore, we don't seek his supernatural power in our life because we really don't believe that he exists. But boy, if you start believing, oh, it separates you. It points fingers at you. See, faith goes beyond the five senses. If you don't understand that there is a spiritual world, listen, you will have an automatic disconnect from the Word of God. If you don't believe in the supernatural, you will have an automatic disconnect from the Word of God. Now, I came across this verse this week, and it really stunned me because I don't think I've ever noticed this verse before. Luke 22:29. It says, Jesus said, and I to his disciples, I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me. He bestowed a kingdom on you. When you got born again, he said, here's the kingdom. Here it is. I'm bestowing it on you. I'm speaking over you. There is a kingdom that you have entered into, and I'm giving it to you. Now catch the last part of that. Just as my Father bestowed one upon me. How many of you believe that God, the Father, has given Jesus a kingdom? That same kingdom that the Father gave to Jesus, Jesus has bestowed on you. We're talking about a revolution of faith. We're talking about thinking differently and apart from how the world or religion generally thinks. Amen? Go to Ephesians 1:18. We touched this last week, but I want to go a little bit more into this. Ephesians 1:18. I think I want to go there too in my scripture. I don't have this one marked, but I want to go there. I like reading it better. Ephesians. Ephesians 1:18 at 2 Corinthians. I passed Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians 1:18. This is a prayer that Paul is praying, and he says, part of the prayer is that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This kingdom that God has bestowed upon us is part of the calling that God wants you to see. He wants you to understand this kingdom that the Father has given to Jesus. Jesus has bestowed it upon us, and he wants you to see it. Because if you can't see it, you won't seek it. If you don't seek it, you won't find it. If you don't find it, you're going to keep living at the level you're at. This is one of those amen or oh me things. This is just like, ouch, 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 ouch. I want to change that. How many of you want a better life? Yeah, we all do. How many of you are willing to go after it? Some. It takes some work. That's what I'm talking about. It takes work. It takes faith to believe that, one, it exists, and two, I can have it. We believe the kingdom of God exists, but we'll get it when we die. No. He already bestowed it on you. He's already bestowed it upon us if we will have faith, radical faith, to believe what God has already given to us. Amen. So to do this, you've got to have your understanding, your eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Go back to Hebrews 11, 6 and 7. This is so good. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 7 says, immediately goes into an example of what he's talking about. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah's faith separated him from the world. See, he was warned of things to come, he was moved with fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He acted. Faith without works is dead. Noah I forget how many years, but he spent years building the ark. Years of people, what, 100? 120. And he spent years doing it. How many people do you think walked by the ark in 120 years? As much as a billboard in Kaiser? You know, I mean, say, what is that old man doing? What? Who does he think he is? What, a boat? Remember, it hadn't rained yet. The ground's still being watered from the soil of the springs underneath of it. They hadn't opened up yet. And so the ground's getting daily watering. And they said, what is this guy building? Noah says, it's a boat. What's a boat? Remember in Finding Nemo? I dare you to touch the butt. Meaning boat, because they're little kids. You didn't get it. Anyway. he says, there's this boat. And nobody knows what it's for. But Noah did. Noah understood what this boat was all about. But it separated him. I mean, he stood out from everybody else. When you begin to live by faith, you will stand out. You will automatically be separated from everybody else. And that's what we don't want. We don't want to be separate. Now, Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness, but I don't think he went around just pointing fingers at everybody. He's just busy building the boat because he saw and believed. He heard, he saw, and he believed. So he's just building this boat. I mean, what a conversation starter. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. What are you building a boat for? Well, you know, this world is just so bad. God's getting ready to destroy it. Really? Yeah, and he says, he told me to build this boat so that everyone who believes in him can come into the boat and be saved. Okay. No, I think you're nuts. But I'm telling you, God told me. See, he didn't have to go out, I proclaim to you, the God of glory is coming down. He's going to burn you all with fire. He just had to build a boat. See, you don't have sometimes say, well, if I'm going to preach the gospel, I got to go out and do all this stuff. Just live your life for God. Do what God told you to do. You'll stand out. You don't have to do anything really unusual. You just have to believe God. You know, you just have to trust him. It'll be okay. Why? Because the kingdom has been bestowed on us. God himself lives on the inside of us. So I'm just living for God. And you'll stand out. Because people will notice. I remember when I had finished drinking in college and I had just recently been born again and we're having this one party and I always went because I was the guy that got everybody home that was on drugs or drunk. They had to depend on me to get them back. And boy, that was a trip. I got lots of stories on that. But I remember this one girl crawled over to me. She's drunk out of her gourd. She crawls over to me, and she looks me square in the eyes, and she says, you're not on anything, are you? I go, no. How can you have a good time? I really didn't know what to say at the time, but I realized I stand out. Just because I'm not participating with the world makes you stand out. So we think, oh, I don't know if I want to be a missionary to Africa or a missionary to Haiti or go to these places. You don't have to. You just live for God here. You're a missionary. Oh, we'll get into this a little bit. You understand what I'm saying, though? See, this faith makes you stand out and be different. But now, Noah's faith not only separated him from the world, Noah's faith, now listen to this, it says in the last part of verse 7, by which he condemned the world. See, when you begin to live by faith in God, there's a natural conviction in that to other people that they're not living right. You don't even have to preach at them. I cannot tell you how many times we have just been playing golf or going on vacation or just walking through stores and meeting people we've never met and we'll just strike up a conversation and we'll be talking and I know I ought to be in church. I know I'm not living right. I didn't bring anything up. I'm just having fun. I mean, we talk about at golf, we have a lot of heathens that like to play with us because they say, our game's better when we play with you. See, your faith will bring others up to a better level. I had an alcoholic one time, and I went to visit his house. I'd been asked by his family to go and visit him because, I mean, he was really on a binge. And when I opened the door, I knocked on it, and when he opened the door, I mean, the whiskey and everything, oh, it could knock you over. You could inhale and get drunk on it. Bottles all over the floor. I mean, it was a sad sight. And we're in there just talking, and he looks over at me and says, you know, I mean, I'm not really, quote, witnessing to him, but he looked at me and says, do you believe God talks to drunks? I said, yeah, I know he does, because I was drunk when God got a hold of me, when he turned my life around, I was drunk. I said, yeah, I believe God talks to drunks. Boy, that confused him, because see, in church, you have to be a godly man or woman. You have to live a perfect life. God won't talk to you. Why would you get born again? See, the Bible says that no man comes to God except God call him or draw him. So God had to talk to you to draw you to him while you were still a sinner. But we build up this whole big thing. Well, God only talks to the super religious. If you're around super religious people, most of them aren't fun. I mean, most of them are just sad. They're always miserable. I said, yeah, I believe God talks to drunks. You do? I said, yeah. No, he's thinking about that. What do you think God's telling you? I think he's telling me I need to sober up and get my life right. Bingo! You know, you got it, man. You heard God. You heard God. He's talking to you. See, Noah's faith condemned the world. He didn't have to do a whole lot. He just had to build a boat. He just had to do what God told him to do. And when you do that, you stand out from the world and your faith begins to condemn the world. This is a revolution of faith. This is a life-changing moment for you and for other people. Amen. See, when you live by faith, it singles you out. You are not one of them. But this is why the world persecutes the believer. When you begin to live by faith, you begin to live in another reality. We are in the world. We're not of it. I know what's going on in the world. We talked about this some last week. I know what's going on in the world. I understand that. But it doesn't come by me and my house. You know, people think Quakers are weird. And to some extent, they are a little bit strange. But they believe to live a separated life. So they have made communities, and they live totally separate. Now, they have interaction with the world. But when you go into a Quaker or an Amish community, you know you're in a different place. We went up to Holmes County in Ohio a couple years ago. And the first time I've really been in an Amish community like that, there were no wires. Once you got out of town, there were no power lines. They don't have electricity. They don't have TV. They don't have cable. How do they survive? Do quite well. Still had horse-drawn wagons out in the field cutting down the hay and you know, working on that. It's like, man, I wouldn't want to do that. But they want to. And when you drive through there, you know they're Amish. And I'll bet most of the people go through there, I wish my kids would all put their cell phones away. And it's like, well why would you say that? Well, we're in Amish country, and I feel convicted. Because they're getting along fine without this stuff, and their families are intact, and things are going quite well for them. Hallelujah. Go to John 17:14. Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. See, once Jesus says, what separates us, he says, I gave them the word. I gave them, Lord, your word. And that word has separated them from the world. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. Some of this I can't give you commentary on it, but 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I see everything going on. I'm getting older. I got more creeks. I got. Now I'm not talking about rivers on my property. I just have more difficulty. You know, things aren't always the same. But he says, but though my outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm building myself up. I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by the Spirit of the living God, and I'm working myself up. I'm building myself up. 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." See, it doesn't say we don't look at the things that aren't real. No, we're looking at the things that are seen. These things are real. The spiritual realm is real. And we're looking into the realm of the spirit, the supernatural, and that supersedes this world. He says, "But we look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen in this world are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." How many of you feel like that? Man, I feel like I'm aging. I feel like the things around me aren't going quite right. It's not happening the way I think it ought to happen, but I'm going to renew myself in the things of God. I'm going to look at that which I can't see yet in the natural. It hasn't manifested, but I'm going to look to it. See, this is faith. I'm going to look at the things that are not yet, but I'm going to look at the things I can't see around me, but I am not going to spend my life looking at everything in this world. Because what is in this world is going to pass away. It's temporary. And we all know that. We all understand that. But we need to keep our eyes on that which is eternal. You know, Hebrews 11 are all examples of faith that are playing off Hebrews 11:1 about faith being the substance and the evidence of things not seen. That this is a reality. This is real things. Go back to Hebrews 11, verse 8. As we get into a couple more examples here. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Boy, I've been there a few times. You know, God's calling you to go out. You got to leave where you are. If you're going to go anywhere, you've got to leave. We took a vacation last year, first one we've had for a number of years, and you know, we had to leave Kaiser, had to leave our house, had to leave our bed, had to leave our kitty, had to leave everything that we had here. We packed the car as full as we could, but there was a lot of stuff we couldn't get in the car. But if we were going to go on vacation, we had to leave here. See, some of you want to go where God is. You don't want to leave where you are. And you're like a trapeze artist. You're trying to reach that other trapeze, and as you're hanging on to the one that you swung out on, you suddenly realize that other one doesn't come all the way here, and I've got to make a leap of faith if I'm ever going to grab hold of the other trapeze. And if I make the leap, I can get to it. But I've got to let go of what I have hold of now in order to get that which is coming at me from God. I've got to do those things. Verse 9, "By faith," still talking about Abraham, "by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." See, Abraham's calling, remember Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, to be open to the calling of God. Abraham's calling was to receive an inheritance. But in order to receive the inheritance, he had to leave where he was. He had to give up the natural for the reality of the spiritual or the heavenly. And Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. It's like, I'm living in the land of the promise. I'm living in the spiritual, but I'm in a foreign country. It's like, I don't belong here. I belong there because I believe what God has told me. I'm a father of many nations. I believe that more than my temporary situation here. As a stranger in a foreign country, do you ever get that feeling? I just don't belong here. And it's not that we should all escape and go to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. But you realize when you look around, this is not where I belong. The things that are going on around me are not part of what I want to live in, but I believe in something better. See, when you begin to do that, when you begin to look to that better day, all of a sudden you discover, I'm living in a foreign country. I really don't belong here. This isn't my reality. There's another place I live. There's another place I belong. And God is calling us into that place that belongs to Him. See, we could say about Abraham, he lived the dream while living in the land that denied the promise. He lived the dream. But when he looked around him, he saw one son. People were opposing him. People didn't like him. God said, call yourself the father of many nations. And whenever anybody walked up to him, wow, you must have a big family. I'd like to see all your kids. Well, here's Isaac. Yeah, where are the others? It's just Isaac. You're a father of many nations. The ridicule just because he changed his name. But he changed his name because God gave him a dream. I'm going to make your descendants as the sand on the seashore or the stars in heaven. And you and I are part of that, of the dream of Abraham. Aren't you glad he didn't quit? Aren't you glad he didn't give up? Aren't you glad he pursued the dream instead of just giving up to the current situation? Still in Hebrews, I think, Stephen, I think I gave you 10. I hope it's 11, the next scripture. Hebrews 11, 13. Did I give him the right one? Oh, right, I did. I got it wrong in my notes. He said, these all died in faith. All after he talks about so many of these people, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. So he saw the dream way off in the future. He knows this isn't for right now, but it's in the future, but he was assured of it. Are you assured of what God has given to you? Are you have that confident assurance that no matter what is going on around me, I'm going to believe God and His dream for me and my life and my household? I'm going to believe those things. See, this is what faith is. It is the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it in the natural, but I see it in the spirit. And I'm going to believe those things I see in the spirit more than I believe the natural. Because if I believe the things in the supernatural, it can impact my natural and change the condition of my life. And change the direction of the things going on around me. Still in 13. These all died, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Say they saw something greater. I'm just a stranger here. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. I'm on to greater glory. But I'm telling you, my sons, my children are going to be so much better than I am. My family is going to be stronger, and we're going to increase and increase and increase. And the kingdom of God that I'm preaching right now is going to increase and increase and increase. Well, Gordon, how do you know that? Because Isaiah prophesied his kingdom will know no end. No limitation, no boundaries. His kingdom will know no end. Verse 14, for those who say such things plainly or declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. See, if you start thinking about the trouble along the way, I mean, when we were on our vacation, we had to stop and get gas. Can you believe that? We were going out to Yellowstone National Park, and we had to stop and get gas on the way. That's just a problem, because I just like to drive. We had to stop and eat occasionally. We had to stop at a few places and sleep overnight. I just wanted to get to Yellowstone, man. I just wanted to get to the Badlands. I just wanted to get to Mount Rushmore. I just wanted to go west. Don't bother me with all the inconvenient stops, but those inconvenient stops were necessary to get where I was going. Now, some of us, we get real upset at the inconvenient stops. It's on the way. You got to do it. You've got to refuel. You've got to do these things. But see, If I were to start thinking, boy, if I had stayed home, I wouldn't have to be buying so much gas. If I had stayed home, I wouldn't have to be paying for hotel rooms because we own the house. If we stayed home, I could have my kitty instead of watching Animal Planet. You know, I could do all these things if we had stayed home. But if we had stayed home, I'd never get to see the Badlands. I never would have got to see Yellowstone. I never would have gotten to see the things that were before me. I had to leave my present situation in order to go where I wanted to go. Otherwise, I wouldn't get there. So this is what Abraham is doing on this journey that God has put him on. He lived the dream, but he's living in all these other things. But the dream was bigger than all the other influences. See, he confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Remember, Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Think about that. Abraham, in this dream that he was living, saw Jesus. He saw the Messiah. He saw you and me being born again. He saw these things. God showed it to him. Why? Because he accepted the word of God that came to him. He believed that above everything else. Abraham saw he was living in the supernatural, and that supernatural was so much greater than his dream. Where's the scripture? He received the promise. He was assured of them. He embraced them, and he confessed that he was a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. They were seeking something outside the natural world. Abraham desired a better country than the one he saw in the natural. How many of you believe in that? See, everybody wants utopia on earth. It'll never happen. But we can still believe for a better world. Amen. Don't give up the dream. Don't give up the hope. What we see right now is not what's coming, because God's going to bring a new kingdom in the earth. Amen. But he said, for this reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Isn't that awesome? God is not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham. And if we will believe these things, God is not ashamed to be called our God. Oh, hallelujah. See, Psalm 119:19 says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. See, he said, I'm a stranger here, but Lord, don't hide your commandment. Don't hide your word, because your word is all I have to hold on to. Your word is greater than the things of this world. Your word will assure me and usher me into this next level of living. So don't hide your commandments from me, but Lord, reveal them to me. Give me understanding. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words, now understand, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the revealed word of God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now this is radical. Are you ready for this? And this is really out there. This will separate you from everybody else in the crowd and separate you even in the faith movement. This will cause you to stand out. But it's Bible. Okay, you can look it up in your book. It's in there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. See, God wants us to get to a place with him. Now, there's all kinds of little qualifications. But listen, if you're abiding in the vine, you're not going to ask something that doesn't belong to you. Now, this came to me in Sunday school. And actually in prayer before service. And I had never thought about this before, but when Jesus was in the garden, now think about it, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. When Jesus is in the garden, he called, what was it, 12 legions of angels and gotten out of the situation? He could have. Jesus knew it. I don't have to go through this. Now get this, Jesus is still the Son of God. Jesus still lived without sin. Jesus could have said, Father, I really don't want to do this. And the Father would have said, okay. And Jesus would have gone back to heaven. You and I would still be dead in our sin. See, Jesus, he knew he had the power, the authority. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. He knew he had the power to call in 12 legions of angels to get him off the cross and to just go be with Daddy. Paul said it like this: oh, I want to go home. Oh, I want to be with my Father God. But it's better that I remain with you. And Jesus knew, I can ask, I can get out of here, and God will not hold it against me. But for your sake, I'm going to the cross. For your sake, I'm going to be made sin. For your sake, I'm going to be beaten. For your sake, I'm going to be nailed to a cross. For your sake, I'm going to die. For your sake, I'm going into hell and receive the punishment that you so richly deserve. For your sake, I'm doing all this. Why did Jesus do it? He knew he could have anything he wanted. And it wouldn't be out of God's will, necessarily. Be it he knew that wasn't his calling. So his calling of God was greater than his escaping the pain. And in faith, there's going to be pain. Because you're going to stand out from the crowd. And they're going to ask you questions that you may be hard-pressed to answer. But when they see the results of your faith, they'll come around. They laughed at Noah. They didn't like what Noah was saying to him while he was building the boat. But when it started raining, and God had shut the door, Noah, we believe in you. Noah, Noah. But every man has got to come to the Lord on his own. We can't force people in. They've got to come to him on their own. Living in the kingdom is abiding in God, is dwelling with him. Back to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've said this for weeks and weeks and weeks in the Lord's Prayer that we studied in the first seven chapters of Matthew. Jesus taught us to pray two things. The first was, our Father which art in heaven. Jesus was condemned because when he called God Father, he made himself equal with God. And Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. Our Father which is in heaven. Our life comes from him. Our strength comes from him. Our abundance comes from him. Everything we have that is good comes from the Father above. Because God lives in, and this is even before the new birth. He's telling the Jews, talk to God like he's your Father. Because God is not ashamed. If you're living by faith, God is not ashamed of you to be called your God. So he said, our Father which is in heaven. That's radical. That'll get you kicked out of 90% of churches in America. But then he said something else. Pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth, even as it's done in heaven. We are the enforcers of the kingdom of God in the earth. It is up to us to live by faith, to trust God, to believe God, to follow after God, to yield ourselves to God, that his kingdom would be manifest in us. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And if we will live in the kingdom and let the resurrected power of Christ live in us and transform us, it'll draw people to you. It'll attract people to you. Why? Because they want out of this world as much as you do. They're trapped as much as we were. And they want to know how to change their life. And they're looking for evidence that it can be different. And you're the testimony. You're different. You're unique. You're special. A peculiar people. An odd-looking bunch. Why? Because you stick out from the world. You're different from anybody else. Because you have chosen to believe in Jesus Christ. You've chosen to give your life to him. And people are watching you to see if God really makes a difference. We need to let God make a difference in our life. Amen. Let's stand up. Father God, we give you praise today. God, that you have bestowed on us a kingdom. Father, let us hear this. Let it saturate our thinking. Let it change our viewpoint, that we could walk in the revolution of faith that Jesus brought into the earth. Lord, you called us not to fit in, but to stand out. You called us to be the light of the world. You told us don't put a basket over our light, because the light is there to illuminate the darkness. You said we're the salt. We're the savor. We're that sweet stuff that preserves things. So Lord, let your light, let your salt shine in us, that we can be displayed to the world at the right time, at the appropriate moment. Lord, that your kingdom would be seen, that men and women would be drawn to you, that they could find new life for themselves and how to escape the kingdom of this world. For this, God, we give you praise and honor, that you have made us ambassadors for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.